Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
You make sure you stick an eye. Come on, don't the job up. Anyway, look, there's Goodison for you.
It's Rog. It's Friday, and we've made it to the end of another week. Believe me, in my case, only just because a pod filled with despair. Everton Football Club are like a leaf that's falling from a tree, and all we can do is watch the downward spiral, pained by our inability to return it to the place of beauty from whence it came. If you can't tell, I'm finding all of this quite hard. This being the experience of watching Burnley's Sean Dyche rip out my team's heart by revealing to the world his last words to his players before they violated us.
And sometimes you kind of, it's hard to explain, but you kind of sense that the team might have lost how to win a game. And I said to him, I'm not sure these know how to win a game, lads, you know, away from home particularly.
And that gravelly voice bastard was right. A lot more Everton below, along with the epic Manchester City, Liverpool. This one's for all the marbles rumble. Just spent a chunk of time talking to Phil Foden. Word on that below too. We'll also have some Manchester United new manager, Arsenal, Spurs, Real Madrid sprinkled in. One note, to try and cheer myself up and tear myself away from the precipice, I'm actually going to go and watch some good football. I'm headed to Philadelphia this weekend. Regular listeners know I've always loved that city. There's really a spirit on the streets there from the people that reminds me of Liverpool. And as for the Union, what they've done for American football is nothing short of phenomenal. Just the youth development, the Ale Bedoya-inspired collective. By the way, I've often wondered why Ale was not the voice of experience that was kept on in this US cycle. Jim Curtin, the manager, such a fascinating man-manager, and what a delirious footballing culture the sons of Ben have created. Plus, Wiz Whip. Oh, if that doesn't cheer me up, I don't know what will. Godspeed. Two quick bits of Men in Blazers business. I've actually spent the week locking down guests for our very first live show since the pandemic to raise a beer in your company again. It's what I need. It'll be a slice of magic. Goes down Tuesday, May the 10th at NYC Skirball Centre. There's GFOPs flying in from all points. And I can't wait to be with you. Tickets, limited tickets, are available via the link at the top of our Instagram page. And also this I'm truly excited about. It's an opportunity for you, dear GFOPs, to ask Tyler Adams, the remarkable Tyler Adams, an incredibly deep question about, well, anything. If any of you harbour a question for freshly qualified for the World Cup US men's national team king Tyler Adams, to give him his full name, just call him in at our number 646-450-9472. 646-450-9472. That phone line is open for Tyler Adams questions. We're working on a project with Tyler. More on that to come. But you can be part of it. Join us together. You, me, Tyler Adams. And just ask him anything, that fundamentally meticulous king of midfield gripple grapple. That's the same number as WGFOP. We will talk about anything, Tyler and I, along with you. Call it in. Let's do this thing. Sting me up, producer Jonah.
You're tuned in to Suboptimal Radio for Suboptimal Times.
WGFOP.
The ball.
That was Suboptimal Radio for Suboptimal Times by Michael in Hudson, New York. Actually, Tyler Adams' country. It is Suboptimal Time, Michael, and that's why we're here on WGFOP Weekend Preview, the show where you call in your questions and I answer them like Greg Berhalter bounces passes. Lots of enthusiasm, general accuracy, a lot of show for not a lot of impact. Call in your questions now, and also the ones for Tyler Adams, occasional recipient of those bounce passes, 646-450-9472. It'll be your voice on the pod. And speaking of voices on the pod, to question one.
Rod, it's Mr. Cranky from Washington, D.C., and an ardent Liverpool supporter calling in today. I'm also the bald plant from your last live show in D.C. at the English Embassy. You asked us how we are feeling about the upcoming match at the Etihad. Calling today to let you know, like every winner, they wear red on Sundays. My question to Rod, though, is will you bring back the Liverpool Breaking Crew track jackets in tribute to that and the relegation of your dear old Everton? Love you guys. Mean it. Have a good day.
Love you too, Mr. Cranky, you king bald. I am going to ignore the Everton part of the question for a moment and focus on Liverpool as they head to Manchester for that epic clash against City. Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA Network, for a game which feels quite gargantuan. And even with recency bias, there's a piece in The Independent this morning written by that great Trent Crim, Miguel Delaney, about how Manchester City-Liverpool has become the Premier League's greatest rivalry of all time. And I actually think he's right. I mean, look, City's treble on the line against Liverpool's quadruple. Woof. Data analysts have calculated City actually hold the edge in this title race. Yet, you could look at the numbers. Liverpool's attack, the potency there. Mo, Mane, Diogo, Diaz and co, they will fancy their chances against a City squad no doubt tenderised by Atletico midweek, Diego Simeone's team. I'm fascinated by them. If you give Diego Simeone's team a chance, an option to either shoot on goal, A, or B, shoot at Jack Grealish's nether regions, they chose those Gucci down belows every bloody single time. So in this one, only one thing is sure, that neither of these two gents, Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, will back down. And this is amazing to me because back in the day, many of you will remember, you know, the big game was United against Chelsea, Sir Alex's United, Jose Mourinho's Chelsea. And those clashes were, let's be honest, they were often dour affairs. Jose would try and shut the game down, wait for a United mistake after negating play for the entirety of the time and then try and pounce on it. But both of these managers, Pep, Klopp, they will go for the other's jugular. And I just spoke to Phil Foden. Phil Foden, the gent who scored in three of his last four meetings against Liverpool Football Club. And even he said he was absolutely buzzing. This was the big one. Here's a burst of Jurgen Klopp dropping wisdom on the eve of this argy-bargy.
In sports, I think what helps you the most is a strong opponent. That's, in the long term especially, it helps you the most. I think especially Nadal and Federer enjoyed a lot the rivalry they had, so I'm not sure if they would still play if they would have won the tournaments either hand. I wouldn't say I'm thankful that it is that good, but it didn't deny our development.
Next question.
Rog, this is Dylan from Minneapolis calling. I'm an Arsenal supporter, and I just got the news about Thomas Partey. And I'm bummed. This fixture list is tough. We've got nothing up front. I called in last year at the Europa League defeat, aspiring to be an arm penis, which you so eloquently described us after our FA Cup win in 2020. But I want to be so much more. But I'm scared. How do we see ourselves through? How does Arsenal get to the Champions League? And if they have to send down Everton to do it that final day, I'm sorry, but it just has to happen. It just has to happen. I do not want to be an arm penis anymore. I want to be more than an arm penis. How does this happen? How does Arteta see us through? Courage.
Hello, Dylan. Hello, Minneapolis. Lord, I miss your city, Dylan. And on penis. Oh, good Lord. You know, I'd actually forgotten about the arm penis conversation. I also sometimes forget that even though I forget what I say, those words often carry meaning, lasting meaning for those who have to listen to my crap. So for those of you like me who do not remember what Dylan's talking about, this refers to, I believe, something I said after Arsenal's shock 2020 FA Cup come from behind win against Pulisic's Chelsea. A win which salvaged European football for the Gunners that season after a really disappointing campaign. And I talked about how that victory reminded me of something that was in the news back then about an English guy, I can't remember who he was, but he'd had a terrible injury. I think his penis had fallen off due to an awful, awful, well, could there be any other kind, let's be honest, blood infection. But thanks to science, he had a new penis built and attached, for reasons I still don't quite understand, to the end of his arm. And what I said in that moment was that Arsenal reminded me of that, an arm penis. That was the concept, you know, where bad news, you've had a terrible season. Bad news, you've lost your penis. Everything's not quite right at all. But the good news is you kind of still have it. You kind of still do with an arm penis. And I won't be clear to you, Dylan, because you've clearly taken this fairly awful metaphor to heart or memory. Maybe you've got your own arm penis and that's why, as an aide de memoir, it sticks in your mind, because it's definitely not in mine. Arsenal then are not the Arsenal of now. They have come so bloody far. That's what we have experienced together this season, the grassroots of joyful youth got all over that field, the beginnings of a deeply organised, truly steely defence, the wonder of Ramsdale. And yes, I know, the Crystal Palace meltdown last Monday stings the psyche, particularly because it's Tottenham, bloody Tottenham, who play three losses on the run, Aston Villa this weekend. It has to be them that are hunting you down. But ahead of your clash with Brighton, know this, Dylan, that there's been so much to admire about your team this season. What a joy it's been to watch them take the field. Think about that. Dwell on that. That an Arsenal that at kickoffs, you are actually both excited to watch. And you also, let's be honest, this season you expect to win, which is a pretty fundamental transformation. And the bad news, yes, Tierney out for the season. That hurts big time. Partey, that injury, TBD as well. Those two would worry me a lot more if I was an Arsenal fan than that loss to Palace, which I wouldn't overblow in a weekend when Chelsea were blown out 4-1 by Brentford. You know, a lot is going to come down to the Spurs game, inevitably looming, that clash, May 12th. It's inevitable. The Premier League scriptwriters are undefeated. But I think I said before a couple of times, I've said Arsenal cannot look at other teams. They cannot angst about drop points. The task at hand is always going to remain the same for the rest of the season, which is to win out, win every game in front of you. And yes, it will feel massive to get back to the Champions League, but it's also an incredible overachievement in terms of the growth for this squad. You look at the bench against Palace, it was thin. Not recruiting in January remains a finger in the eye for Arsenal Football Club. So, you know, I just Googled the arm penis thing against my better judgment. And in the report, they mention a delicious detail that in attaching the poor bloke's penis to his arm, the doctors were proud. They told the press, and we extended the aforementioned appendage by, quote, an extra 2 inches. So Arsenal, maybe they are still that arm penis, Dylan. But look on the bright side. Added size of the boat.
Saka! Beautifully hit. And how significant it could prove to be. This is one of those days that a positive result for Arsenal will see their self-belief snowball. They've got the perfect start.
I love that line about self-belief. The truth of life is in there, Next question.
Top of the morning, Raj. The old goat here, Appalachia's biggest Manchester United supporter. As I'm driving to work and I'm hearing that Erik ten Hag is going to be the next Manchester United manager, I've got to ask, are we at the dawn of seeing one of the newest, savvy, bigwig coaches to enter the Premier League to stamp his mark? Or are we doing a repeat performance of Frank de Boer coming to the Premier League and fizzling out in about 77 days? My heart says one, my head might say the other. What's your thoughts, Raj? Courage.
OG, old goat, hello, gorgeous. Yes, big news this week out of Old Trafford. Erik ten Hag, the 52-year-old ball king genius ruling over that overachieving micropower at Ajax, has reportedly won out of a four-man shortlist, beating out Mauricio Pochettino. He will win the opportunity to lift that poison chalice, which is the role of Manchester United's next coach. Brace yourself for months of transfer rumours now, as everyone from Declan Rice to Ruben Neves, Harry Kane is hot linked to a move to United. How will Erik be? We've really got to wait and see, as we did with Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho, Ole and Ralphie Ralph. Take it from me, though, an Everton fan who's watched a parade of managers revolve in and out of our club. At a certain point, it kind of has to hit you. You kind of have to realise that it's not about the manager. It's about something more profound. And in United's case, it's about a lack of strategy and really woeful footballing now in that front office. There is a marketing division who have held far too much power. We've talked about this before, in terms of players coming in and out, as opposed to making pure footballing decisions. Who do we need? Who will fill gaps? Who will fit into our locker room? Who mentally will reinforce the steel of our collective? Instead, it's just like, yeah, Ronaldo, look at his social media numbers. Pogba, oh my God, can really bolster our TikTok. And United have looked like a club who've been after social media world domination, as opposed to cohering in the locker room, on the field. And look, these problems are well known. And the worry I've got about Ten Hag is that he comes from the completely opposite world. Ajax, a system so well-oiled, so well-drilled, so well-staffed, clinical in its tactics, in its youth development, in its recruitment, in its known roles, that it's going to be like an incredibly successful, canny regional bank manager suddenly promoted to be the CEO of that global multinational and having to do it without the support system that he's used to, that he trusts, that he knows, surrounding him, lifting him up. You need a sage club president, a CEO, a director of football, everyone, assistant coaches, everyone playing their role. And I do fear, without that, Ten Hag's going to be like a brain lacking heart, lung, kidney, name your body parts. And without them, he'll just seem brain dead. And I hope I'm wrong. But what really makes me ache is that a couple of seasons ago, oh God, United had Rashford firing, Lingard, Greenwood was breaking through optimistically. We did not yet know the full horror of his reality, but the green shoots of a youth revival were there. And that is an agony for the United fans. I know that they've just frittered it all away, buried it alive in many cases by bringing in the wrong parts at the wrong time and almost every opportunity. And I say that because I believe the league is better off with Manchester United playing the kind of football that make their fans sing.
Beckham into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has won it! Champions of Europe again, and nobody will ever win a European Cup final more dramatically than this.
Glory, glory, Man United. Good news, United fans. This weekend, it's just Everton, lads. Which brings us, sadly, inevitably, to the next question.
Raj, Tony from Pittsburgh, Spurs supporter. and also a friend of a guy who loves Everton. And I never cared about the relegation fight before this year, and now I do, in part because of your loyalty to that club as well. But I'm just wondering, man, if it happens, what is the impact on a club like Everton when they're relegated to the Championship, financially, culturally, to the fan base? Just love to know some context around this, because it feels so real. I'm pretty angry that this prediction you made at the beginning of the year, Raj, looks like it might come true. Thanks for all your wisdom, courage.
Oh, before I start this topic, I need the boost of a Martin Tyler-gasm, even though that noise sounds like it was years ago. Tony, you yins of beauty, you. Yours was just one of hundreds of messages we've had this week of darkness, in which I had to watch that self-sabotaging 3-2 loss to Burnley on the very same day which marked the 34th anniversary of the release of Tracy Chapman's fast car. It was emotionally shattering to see that loss and listen again to a song I have played thousands of times for consolation after Everton losses past. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? You got to make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. Those words, when you look at Frank Lampard, a harrowed Frank Lampard, and a Frank Lampard that has aged 20, 25 years in just a few weeks that he's had here at Everton. And in truth, it pains me so much more, because Tracy's song is so bloody intertwined with my entire Everton being, my entire Everton identity, the memories of their triumphs past, league titles, European nights, trips to Wembley. Those at the speed so fast I felt like I was drunk. The profoundly happy memories that I shared with my grandfather, Sam, my father, Judge Ivor, my wife, my children, while watching the likes of 70s goal machine Bob Latchford, our king Duncan Ferguson, or the suave stylings of Leighton Baines.
The fourth official has indicated there will be a minimum of 4 minutes additional time.
Well, 4 minutes of stoppage time. Baines going to go for goal! And how! Leighton Baines with an absolute screamer! And the dance of delights from Duncan Ferguson again as he hugs the ball, boys. What a strike from Leighton Baines. Have a look at this.
Those are the city lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped round my shoulder. And this afternoon spent screaming at Goodison Park. Obviously, a feeling that I belonged. And how did it all evaporate so rapidly, Tracy? Feels like only yesterday Carlo Ancelotti came on my show and we dreamed big dreams together.
Hello, Rog. Hello, America. This is the best presentation I ever listened in my life.
Oh, I love the way you said that. Hello, Rog. Can't even do it, that rolling R. But my God, I love that man in that moment. We had Carlo, Mr. Carlo. We had James Rodriguez riding alongside us. And we shocked Spurs in the opening game. We were second. We were bloody second on Boxing Day. Yeah, looking back at that interview, Mr. Carlo did warn me of this.
Be ready when the difficulties come.
Winter is coming, but Carlo's got the dragons.
I hope so.
Winter is coming. But he laughed as he did so. And 50 months later, Carlo's at Real Madrid and we are reeked from Game of Thrones, a broken football club, tortured, shattered emotionally, physically, tactically. And in terms of what happens, if we go down, I can't even think about that now, right now. A world with no derbies, with no massive games, with no Everton losing to all three newly promoted teams in a season. I can't fathom any of that. And all I can tell you right now is it feels like something I love will be gone. And I do want to say, so many of you lovely GFOPs, Bournemouth, Villa, Fulham fans have written in to say, do not fear, there is life after death in that relegation situation. I've actually loved your messages. But for Everton, as you fear, it's going to be worse than for you guys. The financial idiocy of our owners and the sudden severance of relations with oligarch sugar daddy Usmanov, the real money man behind the team. Combining that with the financial crush of relegation could lead to really a Leeds-like implosion, which could take years, decades in the wilderness to recover from. So all I can do ahead of this weekend's game against Manchester United, which is set to sully my weekend pretty much before it's begun, 7:30 a.m. on USA Network, is pray for miracles and warn you, dear listeners, to take nothing for granted. Celebrate everything while you can.
A long throw. Nadal brings it down. Ferguson shot. What a brilliant goal by Duncan Ferguson. First blood to Everton. And the captain does it again against the old enemy.
One last question, please.
Hey, Rog, this is Peter. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina, and I have been a Real Madrid fan since I lived in Krakow, Poland, and watched them win the 2000 Champions League with the likes of Raul, Morientes, Casillas, Roberto Carlos, and Steve McManaman. And I was elated when you started the European Knights podcast because I've always dreamed of hearing you say, this is Peter, and he is a proper Madridista. My question is this: Real Madrid dispatched a Qatari-owned club in the round of 16. We are up 3-1 on a Russian oligarch-owned club in the quarterfinals. If we advance to the semifinals of the Champions League, we will most likely play a club owned by Abu Dhabi. Raj, have Real Madrid stopped being the Galacticos and started being God's instrument of justice to smite sports washing wherever it appears? God bless. Have a great day. Bye.
Peter, I love this. I love your question. I love your framing. I needed this. God bless you. Real Madrid, God's instrument. And if they are, Peter, if you are right, can you have a word for me? Can you please, 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 God's instrument, help bloody Everton? I'm going to leave you with this. A happy moment. We all need happiness in our lives. We'll be back on Monday. Save every second of the weekend, dear GFOPs. Follow us on YouTube and Snapchat. We're there ruining those platforms too now. Old YouTube and Snapchat. To better days ahead for all of us. And let's try and channel the spirit of Benzema. Courage.
Stabbed invitingly into the path of Vinicius again. Benzema! It was almost inevitable that he would score for Real Madrid tonight. He seems to score in every game at the moment. But what a goal that is, again, from the remarkable Karim Benzema. Full credit to Vinicius for the delivery. But Benzema was in at the beginning of that. He was in at the end. He has scored in his last seven games now. He is absolutely timeless.
It's brilliant. Just purely brilliant. Initially, fantastic one-touch pass outside of the boot. Next question, can you keep up with him? Can you find him? And then from there, he's asking so much of him with the finish. But for a man of this calibre, a man of this stature, it is nothing but definitive. What a header, what a start in this tie.
The first Frenchman ever to score 9 goals in a Champions League season. They come in just 8 games this season. That 17-minute hat-trick against Paris Saint-Germain last month was only the hors d'oeuvre.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. you know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.